Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Theo Hickmat here. Friends call me Jason Zelda, singer, songwriter, and Bible teacher. Today, how to be at peace with God. There's a lot of religions out there that will tell you that in order to be at peace with God, you have to follow their rules. You have to be part of their group. You have to be part of some kind of exclusive group in many cases. They have their own rules, their own leaders who claim they speak for God, and so forth and so on. I've done a lot of research into a bunch of these groups, and when it comes down to the bottom line, these groups fall very short from what the Bible actually teaches concerning about how to be at peace with God. There's a lot of groups out there that will tell you that in order to be at peace with God, you have to do this or do that or follow their rules, or you can't do this, can't do that, can't watch this, can't watch that, can't listen to this kind of music, can't watch this kind of movie. That puts all these restrictions on people. Yet, for some reason, I don't find this stuff in my Bible, that God is going to condemn you to eternal judgment for watching a movie or listening to certain kinds of music. The Bible teaches a far more freer message than what many people present, and it's very frustrating when I stop and see how a lot of religions out there have really bound people up, destroyed people's families, and really wrecked people's lives when they finally waked up and realized that the group that they were in was not really what they thought it was, not really representing God at all. The bottom line we're going to be dealing with here is, how do you get to be at peace with God? You see, for all these religions out there to tell you that in order to be at peace with God, you have to be part of their exclusive group or follow their rules and their leaders who claim to speak for God and all that. Even after all that, they cannot guarantee you that after you've done everything they've told you to do, that you're going to be approved by God. And many times these members on their deathbed, after being in these groups for decades and decades and decades and sacrificing their lives and setting aside their hopes and dreams and focusing their attention fully on the religion that they're in, they lay there on their deathbed wondering if they've done enough to satisfy their God. And they leave this world in fear, hoping that they've done enough to satisfy their God. My King James Bible, which is the Word of God in English, tells you that you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can live your life knowing your sins are forgiven. You don't got to worry about it. I don't live my life in fear, wondering whether or not I'm good enough, because it's not about me being good. Never has it been about me being good. It's not about what I did for God. It's about what He did for me, and me accepting what He did for me. So my key verse is right here, 1 John, in my King James Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John explains why he wrote the book of 1 John, and this is what he says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That word ye means all of you. He's saying, I wrote this because I want you, all of you who believe on the name of the Son of God. What is that name? That name is Jesus. Those who believe on the name of the Son of God, you can know that ye have eternal life. If most people would just grasp the understanding of that, it'll put the majority of religions out of business, because they're going to realize that they don't need these groups to satisfy God. You can know that your sins are forgiven and not have to worry about it. How? There are some who think you got to abide by the Old Testament law. The problem with trying to obey the Old Testament law is that we can't. We can't. The Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments as they're commonly known as, it is designed in such a way that if you break one law, you're guilty of breaking all of them. Here's what the Bible says. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So you could have kept every commandment but broke one. And by breaking that one, in God's eyes, you broke all 10. There's no forgiveness under the law. There's no forgiveness under the law. There's a lot of religions out there that will put you under condemnation. A lot of condemnation. They'll try to make you feel guilty for not following their rules. They'll try to make you feel guilty if you didn't speak to that person or that person, try to recruit this person or that person. They'll try to make you feel what they call blood guilty for not doing it. The Bible doesn't put you under these condemnations. A lot of people are familiar with John 3:16 and they miss John 3:17. So we're going to read John 3:16 and 3:17 so you can take the whole thing and understand what the Bible's telling us here. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that's us, all of us here in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn us, folks. He didn't send Jesus here to condemn the human race. He sent Jesus here to be the one that we come to for forgiveness. Because we've all sinned. You look at the Ten Commandments, you know we've all blown it. Every single one of us have broken at least one of those laws. Whether it's the law that says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," well, we've all told lies. Even when we were little children, just to get out of trouble, we might have told a lie to try to get out of trouble. It's still a lie. Some of us have cracked jokes. That joke might have been funny, but it was still a lie. In God's eyes, it's still a lie. We've all told lies. How about adultery? The Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. Some of you say, "Well, I've never committed that crime. I've never had sex with somebody else's husband or wife." Jesus said a very interesting thing. He said, "Whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her, hath committed adultery in his heart." So men, all of us are guilty of that one. All of us are guilty of that one. And ladies, some of you are guilty of it too. Looking at a man, he might have a little beefcake going on, and immediately our minds go right to the gutter. It's natural. It's within our nature to do that. But God did not come here in order to condemn us. He came to forgive us. And here's the unique thing about the God of the King James Bible. He didn't wait for us to get good. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. This is what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That's us. We're not like God. We're nowhere near his level. We are ungodly. Look at what else it says here. Verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." The Bible tells us there's a day of judgment coming, a day of wrath. But God doesn't want to have to judge us humans. So he gives us an option to not fall under his judgment. And that is to come to Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he'll forgive you. We've all sinned. There's no getting around that. The only way we can get our sins forgiven, you come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. He didn't wait for us to get good. While we were yet sinners, while we were shaking our fists in God's face, using his name as a curse word, using that holy name of Jesus Christ as a curse word, he still showed his love for us while we were shaking our fists in his face, cursing his name. He still came and died for us. Because after all, what greater love can you show someone than to lay down your own life? What do you have more than your own life? And since God in his heavenly body couldn't die, he took on a human body that could. The Bible goes on to say this in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us. That word quickened means to bring us back to life. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. That's the missing element that most religions miss, is showing people the grace of God. That God understands that we're human beings, that we're messed up and we're flawed and we make mistakes and we blow it big time. But every day, Jesus is willing to show us grace. Every morning, new grace. Every day, new grace. Every moment, new grace. He doesn't want to have to condemn us, folks. He wants you to come to him for forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 9. Says, he have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, God doesn't have to be kind to us humans who are so mean to him. The things we say about God, how we mock God, put God down, use his name as a curse word, the whole nine yards, he doesn't have to show us any mercy. He doesn't have to show us any grace. But he shows us grace anyway. Because he knows the majority of the human race is going to reject him. But there are going to be those that are going to accept Jesus and accept that forgiveness that he came and died for us to give us. And he reaches out his hand to every human being to come to him. He reaches out his hand to you too. He's not waiting for you to get good. He's not waiting for you to get your act together. He's already taken care of that. He wants to forgive you now and welcome you into his family. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the problem with most religions out there. They'll try to lead you to believe that you have to earn God's favor by doing things. And the Bible clearly says here, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's how you get your sins forgiven. It's by grace that God gives to you. And your faith, believing that Jesus paid the price for you in full on that cross. And sadly, there are people who don't even want to believe in the cross. It's a disgrace. What's necessary? Believing on Jesus Christ is what's necessary. Look at what it says here in the book of Acts chapter 16. You got Paul, who was arrested, put into prison. They begin singing there in the prison. An earthquake breaks out. The doors of the prison swing open. But they don't leave. Their chains come off of them because of the earthquake. But they didn't leave the prison. And the guard of that prison, knowing if the prisoners leave, that's his life. That guard was about to kill himself rather than face the judgment of having the prisoners leave and he be held responsible. But the prisoners didn't leave. Paul didn't leave. Look at what happens here. When Paul saw him take out his sword and was about to kill himself, Paul says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? These guys had a chance to leave the prison and be freed. They said, no, we're not going nowhere, because we were unjustly imprisoned in the first place. We're not going nowhere. And because they stayed, they had an opportunity to talk to this man. This guard wants to know now, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have my sins forgiven? Notice what Paul says. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Notice he didn't say, join this organization, join this religion, go door to door, ride your bicycle with a badge on, be religious, do something for... No. They didn't say do that. They said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt, not might, not could, shall be saved. How much simpler could God make it? What do we believe about Christ? What are we supposed to believe about him? That's answered in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. The gospel message is explained. And if anybody from any religion comes to you saying that they're coming to you to preach the gospel, and you ask them, what is the gospel? And they don't respond this way, they're not a Christian religion. I don't care who they say they are or how much they may claim to a Christian religion. If they don't tell you that this that I'm about to read to you is the gospel, they're not a Christian religion. Look at what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand. So he's about to present to them what the gospel message is, that all Christians are supposed to be preaching. Verse 2. By which ye are also saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. The gospel message is, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. They put him in a cave, and they rolled a huge stone in front of it, and they put guards in front of it to make sure nobody stole the body. 3 days later, an angel comes down and rolls that stone out of the way. And Jesus comes out. And he was seen by more than 500 people at once. Some of which wrote about it. And it made its way into the Word of God. Because that was the whole message of the Bible in the first place. That the God who created us, Jesus, cared enough about us humans that instead of wiping us out when we rejected him and rebelled against him, he chose to come down here and show us mercy and to show us grace and to show us forgiveness. And although he knew the majority of the human race would rebel against him anyway, he still offers out that grace to everybody. So that whosoever will come to him. The question is, will you come to him? What do you got to do? The beautiful thing about the true Christian message is that it fits everybody. Whether you're sick, whether you're well, whether you can walk or can't walk, whether you're blind or you can have your sight, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're on 5 minutes from death, or whether you're fresh out the box. The true Christian message fits for everybody. There are some religions that tell you that in order to please their God, you got to do all these things, that if you are somebody who might have some kind of ailment, you might not be able to do that to the degree that they want you to do it. The Bible doesn't put you under that kind of condemnation. It doesn't put you under that kind of nonsense. Jesus understands our limitations. Look at what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. the Savior, your Savior, who saw you in your sins and didn't condemn you, but offered out that hand, that nail-scarred hand, to forgive you, no matter what you did. Cleans you up. Makes you brand new. You might say, but Jason, you don't know what I've done. Brother, it doesn't matter. Sister, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. He was there. He saw it. He can forgive. He has the power to forgive. Now, some of you may have done some really bad stuff in the past. And I would recommend, if it's like really, really, really bad stuff, yes, pray and ask Jesus to forgive you. You get your life right with God. You get your life right with God by coming to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. But if you've done a really heinous, heinous crime, the Lord will forgive you. But you got to understand, on this earth, you might have to answer for what you did. And if you did something really bad, if you killed somebody, murdered somebody, raped somebody, molested somebody, not only should you turn your life over to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness, but you should turn yourself in. What are you afraid of? They'll give you the death penalty? Hey, you shouldn't have done the crime. Shouldn't have done it. But the Lord can forgive your soul. But in this flesh, you may have to pay a price to mankind. Just saying. You want to do it right. Get your life right with the Lord. And if you did some really heinous crime against somebody, turn yourself in and admit what you did. Don't try to hide it. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. Not an elite group of people. Whosoever. The rich can do it. The poor can do it. The middle class can do it. Those on a hospital bed can do it. Those that are out running a marathon, they can do it. Anybody on this earth. You call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, "Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner." He'll forgive you. Why? He understands us. He's the God that cared enough about us. This Bible tells us He came down here, became one of us. He knows what it's like to be a human. The Bible says He was tempted in every way we're tempted, but He never sinned. What are you going to tempt God with? He owns everything. A beautiful thing about the story of the King James Bible and how it spells out things is it shows us that God wants to adopt us. It's a beautiful story of adoption. He created us humans. We're His master creation. The human race rebelled against Him. And He spent the whole rest of the Bible trying to get us back to Himself. Because He knows there's a judgment day that's going to land on this earth. He knows it's coming, and He doesn't want to have to judge the human race. So He offers the human race the option to have our sins forgiven and to be adopted into His family. Listen to what it says here. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." He chose all of us before the earth was ever made to be brought into His family in love. But sadly, the majority of the human race doesn't want anything to do with God. But he keeps trying. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Listen to the wording here. Words like love and grace and accepted and adoption. I have no respect for the so-called modern translations of the Bible. I stick with the King James. Because in this passage here in verse 7 where it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the majority of the so-called modern versions have removed through his blood the way that we get the redemption. Jesus, when he shed his blood on that cross, he said it is finished. And the majority of these so-called modern translations have removed the blood so that people don't know how we got the redemption. It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace that they did this. That's why I stick with the good old-fashioned King James Bible. And I recommend that when you pray and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, that you go out and you get yourself a good old-fashioned King James Bible. Not the so-called New King James. The New King James is the fake. It's one of those so-called modern translations that they've altered. Stick with the good old-fashioned authorized King James Bible. God wants to adopt you. Just the thought that the creator of the universe came down here to have us come to him so that we can be adopted into the family of God. Even though we've sinned and we've blown it and we've done all kinds of bad things, he's willing to forgive all that and welcome us into heaven when we die. It is mind-blowing. Here's another verse, series of verse here in the Bible that talks about God wanting to adopt us into his family. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The spirit of adoption, no longer the spirit of bondage and fear. The majority of a lot of the religions that are out there, the cults, keep their members in by fear. That if they leave the group, something bad's going to happen to them. If they speak against the group, something bad's going to happen to them. The Bible says you're not supposed to be under that spirit of fear. Remember, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to forgive us. There's a judgment day coming. And God wants to protect the human race from the wrath that is to come. It's free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything. You might say, but Jason, I drink. Can I come to Jesus and even though I drink? Yeah, you can. He can change you. You say, but I smoke. Well, he can change you too. You might say, well, I use drugs or I use this or I... Doesn't matter. He can change you. For some, he may take longer than others. But he can change you. He does it all the time. And you're not under all these rules that you can't do this, can't do that. On Judgment Day, God is not going to judge you based upon the music you listen to. Show me in my King James Bible where it says God's going to judge you based upon the songs you listen to. It ain't in there. He's not going to judge you based upon the movies you watched. Or the TV shows. It's awkward how religion has caused people to be in such bondage, that spirit of bondage. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He didn't come to condemn us and bind us up. There's freedom in Christ. If I never preached another day in my life, I'm still going to heaven. It's not about what I do. I'm not earning my way to heaven by making videos. You can't earn your way to heaven in the first place. Jesus came and died for us. He paid for the whole thing. All he has to do is accept it. Period. End of sentence. Accept what he did. And then go on with your life. I'm trying to reach people out there. Because there's a very interesting verse in the Bible that really gets me thinking. I love sci-fi movies. The imagination of man, that they're able to create these sci-fi worlds and universes and things and technology, is mind-blowing. Yet here's what the King James Bible says about what God has planned for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. The most elaborate imagination of man as to what the future can be with the mass technology and all the stuff they can come up with. The Bible's telling us here, the heart of man can't even imagine what God has actually planned for us who love him. When you look at this universe, recently they just came out with some pictures from the James Webb telescope. Beautiful pictures of our universe. There's going to come a day when God's going to allow it all to self-destruct. And then the Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I haven't seen, ear haven't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has planned. You see, this universe is corrupt. It's messed up. Partially because of mankind. So God's going to make a brand new one. A new universe with new stars, new planets, new galaxies. A new earth. And we who love Jesus and have accepted him, we'll be able to live there. And we will not have the limitations that we have here on this earth, where all we can do is send out a probe or a satellite and look at what's out there, but we can't go. During this time in the future, with a new heaven and a new earth, a whole new universe, new stars, new planets, new galaxies, new everything, we'll actually be able to go and see what he made. And when you stop and think that all that we see, the Bible tells us Jesus made it all in 6 days. This is 6 days worth of work. Folks, he left this earth nearly 2,000 years ago. And before he left, he says, I'm coming back. But I'm going away to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, ye may be also. If this is only 6 days worth of work, can you imagine what 2,000 years worth of work is going to look like? No, you can't. Just stop and think about how vast it must be. The things you'll be able to do, and our minds can't even comprehend what the Lord has planned for us. The question is, will you accept the free offer that Jesus died to give us? It's your choice. It's free. Don't cost you nothing. You pray and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. We've all sinned. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit so that you'll not want to do a lot of the wicked things that we normally do. And you let him take the steering wheel of your life and you sit back and enjoy the ride. And for some of us, it's going to be a hard ride. The life of Christians is not always easy. Look at the lives of the disciples, the ones who followed Jesus, and how their lives ended. Many of them died very horrible deaths. But they went through it. Because they knew that on the other side of death was home. Death was the doorway to take us home. And that's the way I look at it in my life too. I recently just got through a surgery. And I knew the surgery could have went very wrong. But I went with a big thumbs up. Because I wasn't worried about a thing. If I lived, I'm going to keep preaching this King James Bible and worshiping Jesus. And having fun and trying to enjoy my life. But if I died on that operating table, I'd be home. It's all good. So I just wanted to give you guys that message to let you guys know what the Bible is all about, what the gospel message is all about, so that everybody can know. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what you've done. The God of this King James Bible is willing to forgive you and make you brand new. And you can come to him just as you are. I heard one guy say, you don't get cleaned up to take a bath. No. You get in the shower dirty. And you let the water and the soap clean you off. And in this life, sin gets us dirty from head to toe. And we don't have the ability to wash off our own sin. But Jesus, when you come to him, he can take you and clean you up. And you'll be clean forever. You'll make mistakes here. We all do. But this is only a pit stop on our way home. So guys, I'm Jason Zelda, singer, songwriter, Bible teacher. Come visit my music site, jasonzelda.com. Buy some music if you want. You can pay whatever price you want to pay. You want to pay a dollar for a song, you pay a dollar. You want to pay $500 for a song, you pay $500, whatever you want to pay. If you can't afford the music, don't worry about it. My site is designed. You can just go there and listen to the music for free. I don't charge anybody for preaching this book. Forgiveness was given to me for free. I give away the message for free. So guys, till next we meet. I'll see you guys down the road. Good night, everybody.